The new science of physical health.
In the 80s, this young man graduated with a degree in health education. For the next 20 years of his life, that's what he spent his time doing. For seven of those years, I think it was seven, he was in the National Heart Foundation of Australia. I never quite get that right, but we know what I'm talking about. You know the one with the tick, you know where you get the tick? And he spent a lot of his time there, is still closely associated with these people. He has a passion, and the passion is born from the pain and the trauma that he felt as a young man when a loved one, and he'll tell you the story, close to him, was taken by Australia's most prolific killer. And he'll spend a little time telling you on that. So he speaks from experience. Here today to help you discover the beat of your healthy heart, will you please help me welcome to the stage one of Australia's leading heart health educators, Mr. Shane Stubbs. Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Shane. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob, and thank you, everybody, for coming along here this evening. You know, my role here, my function is to help you, as Rob said, to discover the beat of a healthy heart. And if you've heard me speak before, most are premature, and here's my story and my relationship to heart health. Most are premature, like my father. I'm 23 years of age. I've just finished my degree in health education, physical education, and sports science at Canberra University. I'm working in a fitness complex in Canberra. I get a phone call from my mother, and I never get a phone call from my mother at work. You know what it's like? You get a phone call from someone you never expect who's close to you. I never get a phone call at work, and she rings up, and the first three words I heard out of her mouth changed the direction of my life forever. She said to me, "Love, Dad's died." Thank you so much for joining me in this short audio lesson about my workplace wellness platform, The Perfect Health Lesson. That brief introduction you just heard was me speaking live to 2,000 people at a convention center here in Sydney, Australia, a few years ago now. As you're about to discover, nothing is more thrilling for me or more fulfilling than being able to teach people how to reduce their risk from complications related to what I call the big four, the four major health crises that people face in the workplace today. Here they are: excess weight, like the one I just spoke about, catastrophic cardiovascular events, high blood sugar, and the cluster of conditions known as metabolic disease. Now, it's worth noting here at the outset of these four factors, also that I've just mentioned, the big four, contribute to the second leading cause of sickness, disease, and premature death, cancer events. Now, I'm no one special except for one thing. I had a vision on how we could get people at work to fall in love with wanting to be physically healthy. Then I used my skills from my 40-year career to create one single lesson that improves the longevity and health span of people in the workplace. Now, in a moment, you're going to find out how a garden variety school teacher, that's what I call myself, in health and physical education, and I'm also a podcast host, how a person like me was able to sit down at the table with the leader, this chairman, CEO chairman of a $3 billion corporation, $3 billion company. Under normal circumstances, that would never happen. It would require a TV celebrity, a host from a major television network, like a program like, say, 60 Minutes, before you could get to sit down with a workplace business leader who has the capacity of the person that you're about to hear from in this audio lesson. My interview with the chairman of a $3 billion corporation in 2020 served as the catalyst for creating my groundbreaking health platform that I call The Perfect Health Lesson. This leader of a multi-billion dollar business, he found himself in the middle of a health crisis that almost claimed his life, and he called it, his diagnosis of this health crisis at age 58, he called it the 4 days that changed his life. Now, his response to a pivotal question compelled me to want to go out and save the lives of tens of thousands of other people in workplaces and dramatically improve their physical health outcomes. After the interview that I did with this business leader, I remember driving away from the location that we're in and thinking to myself this: if this industry titan, this business leader, could not answer the simple question, what I call the critical question in our conversation about his health crisis, then his 4,000 employees that he's responsible for, they would likely face similar struggles. It meant that their lives would remain under threat from a health catastrophe, much like the one that he had, which seemingly appeared out of nowhere. More about that later. I couldn't stand idly by and let that happen. So this is what I did. I combined my 40-year education career with the medical research of over 100 expert PhDs from across the globe to create the first ever workplace perfect health lesson. In 2020, I got the privilege of interviewing Mr. Barry Irvin. You've never heard of Barry, almost certainly. Certainly, if you live outside of Australia, you would never heard of him, and many people in Australia have never heard of him. But if you do come from Australia, you have heard of the company that he leads. It's called Bega Cheese, and since the year 2000, Barry's been the chairman of Bega Cheese. Now, Bega, spelled B-E-G-A, is a real country town. More about that in a second. But the title of that company, the label of the company and what they sell, Bega Cheese, is a dairy product company. And Barry spoke to me about his health crisis when he was 58 years of age, which has now left him permanently ill. It was public knowledge at the time that Barry had been diagnosed with stage 4 bowel cancer. He described to me in our conversation that he'd been diagnosed like a bolt from the blue. It had come out of nowhere for him. In a moment, I'm going to share a section, just a small section of the over 2-hour interview that I did with him, where I asked him this one specific question. Prior to your diagnosis with stage 4 cancer, did you know about a specific set of steps that could reduce your risk of a catastrophic health event? Now, it was his specific answer that drove me to take my 40-year career of teaching and create something that could make a difference in his health status and the current and future health status of the 4,000 employees that he leads in industry. So shortly after I met Barry, I then pursued an interview with a lady called Dr. Catherine Schmitz. She's one of the world's leading professors of exercise oncology, exercise cancer. She's the head of a medical department at Penn State University, Pennsylvania, USA, and her research has been at the forefront of cancer and the impact of physical activity. So what is the impact of physical activity on cancer? She's a global leader, and her team and the lab that she leads at Penn State University, they've received over $25 million US dollars in research funding. Soon after this, I met with another individual who's credited, this is amazing, as being the world's leading PhD in exercise physiology and at converting medical research into practice in the so-called real world. He takes what's done in the laboratory and makes it practical so we can all use it. And his name is Professor Ulrich Wisloff, and he's from Norway, and he's the head of an organization called CERG, Cardiac Exercise Research Group, and he's also the head of exercise medicine for the Department of Circulation and Medical Imaging, the Faculty of Medicine and Health Sciences at the Norwegian University of Technology and Science. And he leads a team of 55 employees. Professor Wisloff has been researching this field for over 25 years. Now, these two interviews, along with more than 100 others since 2020, have inspired me to develop a platform with a 100% guarantee that all learners who use the perfect health lesson will reduce their risk of cancer events and the big four that I just mentioned a moment ago: excess weight, catastrophic cardiovascular events, high blood sugar, and the cluster of conditions known as metabolic syndrome. Barry Irvin's life, the leader of Bega Cheese, the chairman of this $3 billion corporation, was under threat only because no one had ever taught him how to reduce the risk of a cancer event, as well as other causes of sickness, disease, and premature death. Now, let me fill you in just a little bit about the remarkable journey of Barry Irvin and his success in industry, in business. Before I drop you into that section of my conversation I had with Barry, it's a short section in this audio lesson. This is how I came to sit with a person who is what I would label way above my station in life. As I said before, Bega is a thriving and real dairy community situated on the far south coast of a state in Australia called New South Wales. And the reason I say in Australia and a state in Australia is because this program is being released to people across many different countries. My podcast show is listened to in 97 different countries, The New Science of Physical Health, and this lesson is being introduced to all of those different countries. So that's why I'm referencing different parts of Australia. So it's not just the name of a cheese company, Bega Cheese, but rather this country town that has a history that is steeped in dairy farming, the industry of dairy farming. Bega has a population today of just on or just below 4,000 people. It's a small country town, and to this single day, still has one traffic light in the main street of the town. Main street's called Carp Street, named after a fish. So on the outskirts of the town, near the Bega Bridge, there is the headquarters of Bega Cheese. That's in North Bega. The business itself, this is amazing, started in 1899. The cheese factory right near the Bega Bridge opened in 1900. And as I mentioned, Barry became the chairman 100 years later in the year 2000. And when he took over as business manager, the company had about, he told me in our conversation, about $10 million in revenue. Today, that has grown to $3.01 billion in revenue. And when I spoke to Barry, I asked him how he achieved the result. That answer formed a big part of our long two-hour discussion, and his success fascinated me. But what fascinated me just as much about his business success was how that did not translate into him understanding his health destiny. That's a phrase that I've made up in For Education. It was a paradox to me that he had massive control over the financial destiny of this once small dairy co-op, but not his health outcomes. His lack of engagement and knowledge about his physical health status was all due, and I figured this out beforehand, but then I confirmed it in our conversation, was all due to how he grew up as a young teenager. Now, I'll bet you how he grew up is not too dissimilar to how you grew up and how I grew up. You'll see why in just a moment. How Barry grew up, the teachers at high school he had, and the community that would one day influence his health catastrophe, now that is where I have an insight that you can't derive from a one, two-hour conversation that I had with him. So I've got more insight into the way that Barry grew up more than most people would ever have gained from this 1-2-hour conversation we had. Let me explain. Just so happens that like Barry, I actually grew up in the town in this area called the Bega Valley. When I was in the 7th grade, he was in the 12th grade. Now, we never actually knew each other personally way back then at school, but my friends had brothers and sisters that were his friends. So I had friends in the 7th grade who had older brothers and sisters that knew Barry. My school teachers were the same teachers that Barry had. The sports that we played on the weekend in our country community were exactly the same. He played for a local football team. I played for a local football team. The lifestyle and environment that influenced us as young men was almost identical. And I remember us having this discussion about something he called the Bega culture that helped him become such an unusual success in business. He didn't have to explain to me at all what he meant by this, because just like he did, I had lived that culture growing up. And the people from that country town who live there today, they know what that means. After we both moved away from our small country town to begin our careers, his was in banking and mine in education, where I didn't come back to the town, but he did. our lives would diverge significantly. He would get wrapped up in the corporate world, and I would become immersed in understanding health and physical activity. Interestingly, both our fathers had suffered the same fate, dying from an unexpected heart attack. A generation later, I would develop deep knowledge and deep understanding on how to drive down your clinical risk of complications from the number one killer, catastrophic cardiovascular events, and the number two killer, cancer events. So during his career, Barry never absorbed himself in learning the exact steps you could take on a daily basis to drive down clinical risk. As a result, when I got to sit down with him 40 years after we left school in 2020, he was in the throes of the last month of what doctors told him was a severe chemotherapy treatment to stop the spread of stage four bowel cancer. Stage four, by the way, is the worst stage you can have, most life-threatening. At this stage of recording, I'm now 58 years old. Barry must be somewhere around about 63, 64. And I have yet to suffer, fingers crossed, touch wood, and all of the things that I apply in my life. That's really what it's all down to. I've yet to suffer any major health catastrophe. There is no question that a big reason for this is my use of the perfect health lesson on a daily basis. Let me just give you a bit of an insight. My body has poor genetics. My father died at 46 years old from a sudden and massive heart attack. My grandfather died at 59 years old from a sudden and massive heart attack. My mother died from a cancer event 7 days after she told us about the diagnosis. I am not at the mercy of poor genetics because through the perfect health lesson that I've created, I know how to build what are called positive and molecular physical health adaptations, something you're going to hear a lot about. These adaptations improve the structure and function of my lungs, heart, blood vessel network, and cell organelles. The core medical principle inside the perfect health lesson has this gargantuan worldwide medical research behind the success. It's not just something I've invented. If you use it, you will be at low clinical risk from the big four: excess weight, catastrophic cardiovascular events, high blood sugar, and the cluster of conditions known as metabolic diseases. If you don't use it, you'll be like Barry, totally oblivious to the fact that it's not complicated to create positive molecular and physiological health adaptations that drive down your risk of sickness, disease, and premature death. So with all of this as a background to my conversation, let's go now and drop in on just a few minutes of that conversation with Barry. Now, just to let you know, we sat down and recorded the conversation in a busy cafe in Sydney. So you can hear the conversation over the clinking of coffee cups and people talking in the background. Now, I actually loved the interview because of the ambience. Nothing was scripted other than a few key questions. And that one key question that I asked Barry about his health catastrophe and the answer that he gave me back. Remember, he calls this, his diagnosis with stage four bowel cancer, the 4 days that changed his life.
So people often ask me the question around, you know, so did you have this grand vision or did you have this, did you just see the path that nobody had seen before you or whatever else it might be? And I tend to go that, I think my strength in probably most things I do is that I'm just extraordinarily curious about people and curious about what they do and what opportunities come. So I was, and I've always said, so the path for Bega Cheese was I was always looking at larger dairy companies, and there was much larger ones than us. And trying, not unlike you spoke about earlier, trying to get to the leaders of those organisations to see what they were up to and what they were thinking.
And they would
quite often, amongst their thinking would be quite often, you're irrelevant and you don't have any future, when they talked about Bega Cheese. And and I would never be offended, but I would always ask them why they thought that. So I always was sort of internally ambitious, if you like. I will search all the information I can from people that want to help me or people that actually don't want to help me but are happy to share information with me. With an ambition to grow. And I always had this great belief that you had to be outward looking. So I think, and cooperatives can be like this.
Yeah.
They can be enclosed. Communities like Bega can be enclosed.
Mm.
And so one of the hard things that I say about life in general,
yeah,
is to break your own social norms.
Mm.
It's to break norms that you've been taught.
Yeah.
And so if you believe that your position in life is this, or indeed even if a business thinks my position in business is this, and there are these giant ones and there are these smaller ones and I just fit here.
Yeah.
So my view was always, they're going to be broken. And it's very, very, very hard to break that.
Yeah.
But the only way you break them is by surrounding yourself with new information all the time. Some I would argue that... So for us, for example, very hard for somebody such as me to say to my board, I want to go and spend a ridiculous amount of money on corporate advisory services. I need a corporate lawyer, I need an investment banker, and they all charge a fortune.
Yeah.
And what we want to do, and what do we want that for? Just to be ready.
No outcome.
Just to look around and see what we might be able to do. And
yeah.
And of course, so what happened with the particularly, so the industry was deregulating in 2000.
Oh, yes.
So
that was
turmoil.
Yeah.
So you know, my view of turmoil, everybody always says, the strange thing about me is that when everything's calm, I get irritated. And when everything's in turmoil, I get calm. And so when deregulation was coming, I saw that. Everybody saw that as the end of Bega.
Yeah,
I saw that as the opportunity for Bega.
Oh,
because
man,
there was...
That's exactly how I think. 100% yeah. How I think.
Yeah. And so we... There was a rationalisation deal to be done with what was then Bonlac Foods, became Fonterra.
Oh, yes.
Where we consolidated... So we started consolidating. So for the first time, we consolidated brand and packaging for Bega cheese with other companies. So we started to work with other companies rather than be. We were operating in Canberra at the time with Canberra Milk.
Yes.
And again, we had a mortal enemy in Canberra called Dairy Farmers.
Well,
I was keen to merge that business into one business, which we did.
Yes.
And so we started to go from... Competition's all about, you know, if you like, winning a small game to collaborations about winning a bigger one.
Yes.
And the interesting thing for me as we roll forward, the bigger we've got, the more difficult it is to sneak up and win those collaboration games because people are more...
Because they know.
Yeah, they're more suspicious about what you're trying to achieve.
We got Vegemite back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we really, if I was talking about the sort of skill that we developed in those early 2000s, it was all about execution.
No.
So in corporate life, a lot of people will talk about the deals they're working on.
Yeah.
Or there'll be a lot of deals. So we would work on a few deals, but we would execute every one of them.
Oh.
And that might have been because we were a bit poverty stricken and we couldn't afford to not get it done.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so but we got very good. If we had a target, and you just need to read the Fin Review, you know, there'll be a business in play.
Yeah.
And there'll be 15 people looking at it.
Right.
You know. If we had a target, we normally kept it very, very, very quiet.
Yeah.
But we normally got the target, you know, and we were, and that was the big thing that where we, particularly between 2010 and when we listed in 2000, sorry, in two, between 2000 and when we listed in 2011, we'd virtually executed every two or three deals. We'd executed deals that built the business substantially.
Yes.
And so by the time we got to 2011, we had a pretty good reputation about being able to execute.
Yep.
And we had a pretty good financial reputation about when we did execute, we actually made it work. You know,
yeah.
And I guess once you get that momentum and you get those teams and to the where I started, you know what, the more people you know, the more people you get to know, the more people you get introduced to, and while of course that was all going on, we were developing Giant Steps.
Yes.
And although a total aside, we think about that around its specialty is around behavioural management.
Yes.
and all the and so the people I met in that part of my life also helped me in my corporate life, because and vice versa, of course. But I always am keen to sort of recognise that all those soft skills around around human behaviour can be extraordinarily important in the corporate world and more so now. So then.
So take the town itself, like, you know, Benboka, Bega, Malama, all those places, Candelo. So the business, the way I understand it, is that there's, like, you have the factory in town. That produces a certain amount of, but getting those other businesses into the Bega Valley portfolio is what's making it grow.
So we're now 8 factories from Queensland to right through Victoria, and you know, and we had to, I mean, that's that thing of saying we had to look outside the valley. But and this was again really important to me. I think, and I think early on, I was probably a bit I want to say angry, but I wanted to prove something, both in Bega and to and outside Bega.
So you mean to our parochial locals as well?
Yeah. Well, it, no, it was So look. Country towns.
Yeah.
Lovely things about country towns. There's not so lovely things about country towns.
Yes.
So some of the small town stuff, even some of the things like racism, some of that social stuff that I talked about earlier, where, you know your place, this is your position, and this is, like, I didn't like any of it. You know, and I didn't like any of it. And even, you know, so not all my experiences at high school were great.
No.
So I wanted to go, you know what, when you thought that I was a bit unusual, a bit different or whatever else, you're right, I was, because I was thinking differently to what you think. And so early on, and then even the way country towns were viewed. You know, so when I came to the city, you were sort of viewed differently.
Oh, me too.
You know, and okay. So early on, there was, you know, I don't want to say an aggression, but there was a sense of wanting to prove something that drove me very, very hard. And drove me beyond going, this can be different. Now my version of different was, I wanted the farmers' lives to be better. I wanted you know, innovation to be to pass through everything. You know, I wanted it to be on the farm, I wanted it to be in the factories, I wanted it to be everywhere. And I wanted, so I had this thing of, you know, life doesn't have to be the way somebody else designs it for you, it has to be the way you design it.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do the same thing.
I asked him this question, and this is really the title of this episode, about the 4 days that changed his life. Here's the question. Do you know the exact steps on how to use physical activity and the correct eating patterns to be at a very low risk from cardiovascular disease and cancer events, the number one and number two cause of sickness, disease, and death? Now, as you're about to hear, it's a variation of that question. Let's transfer now to the question I asked him and his answer, then I'll come back. We're going to wrap up this audio learning episode.
Part of getting those 4 days that changed a lot. What would you say, if I ask this question, this is my question, did you have specific knowledge about how to be physically healthy?
No, I was probably the, whatever I knew, whatever I picked up along the way was what I sort of applied. But I actually wasn't that worried about it, to be honest. You know, like, and I was probably, and so interestingly enough, in the 12 months or 2 years leading up to getting sick, I would have gone, that was my most ill-disciplined period. That was my busiest period. That was lifestyle around constant travel, too much alcohol, too much food, those things. And I would, as I sort of said earlier, I would occasionally go, oh, I've got to break that and, you know, get healthy and start to eat a little bit more healthy. But I wasn't. So the things that I knew, so I was aware of, you know, what I was saying earlier around, I would always do incidental exercise. I would rarely.
But nothing dead on, like, if I do this and get this out, I'll be physically healthy.
No.
Amazing answer. Despite Barry being this industry titan and a leader of thousands of employees, he was unaware of the specific steps he could use on a daily basis to drive down what is called his clinical risk of a health catastrophe, like the one that he was facing when I sat down with him. It truly got me to thinking, well, if he doesn't know the answer to that question of what a single framework that you can use on a daily basis, and easily I might add, to drive down your risk of a physical health catastrophe, if he didn't know it, then how likely is it that all of his employees are rowing the same boat, so to speak? Why would they be any different? And the answer is they aren't any different. Many, if not most of them, are already experiencing complications from, and I know this because I know some of the employees, from excess weight, catastrophic cardiovascular events, high blood sugar, and metabolic syndrome. The only difference between Barry and I is that my life took a fork in the road, and I took a fork in the road, where I became fascinated with the world of health education and medical research, and then fascinated with how to convert complex medical research into simple lessons. 4 decades after my father and Barry's father dropped dead from a sudden and massive heart attack that could have definitely been avoided, Barry was now suffering his own health catastrophe that could have had a massive reduction in risk. So I find it's creating something that, like this perfect health lesson from the workplace for the next generation, is to be able to, about them able to kicking off their working career so they don't end up like Barry or our fathers before us. In the past 40 years, I knew that ending the needless cycle of health crisis created largely by our working careers, where it wasn't as complicated as it's made out to be. So the amount of sickness, disease, and premature death we're having as a result of our working careers, solving that problem is not as complicated as it's made out to be. If I've excelled at one thing in my lifetime, it is in being able to break down complex medical research into now one simple lesson. Beyond this, I've honed my skill since 1985 at being able to get people to fall in love with wanting to be physically healthy in the first place. And that is where the core problem is: a severe lack of deep engagement in our own future physical health status. I'm literally thrilled that you've reached this part of the audio lesson. There is so much more to discover about the workplace perfect health lesson. Now, wherever you've got access to this audio program, you can contact me via the website now that you've listened to this audio lesson, and I'll drop you an email, because that's my goal with this program, is to get you to want to contact me about the perfect health lesson workplace wellness platform. Today, both you and the people you are connected to in the workplace are either developing positive or negative molecular and physiological health adaptations, ones that will drive you and them either away from or toward a catastrophic health event. I built the perfect health lesson so that you and the people you work with become at low clinical risk from sickness, disease, and premature death. I cannot wait to get started at the workplace where you are today. Contact me and let's get this program running successfully where you work. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us in today's episode of The New Science of Physical Health. We hope you have found the education content informative and enjoyable, and will share it with others. In today's episode, Shane made reference to a brand new project that will be released in early 2024 called The Perfect Health Lesson. If you would like to find out more about this project right now and get access to its pre-release, then go ahead and visit the website in the show notes for today's episode.